You know, sometimes people wonder, you know, they've asked me, you know, how do you come up with subjects and things? And I was in my office a few months ago, and I was thinking, you know, I want to do a verse-by-verse study of a book after we finish this that we're doing now. And so I was going through the Bible, and I was looking at different books, and I looked at the amount of time we have between now and Easter, and I read Jude. And as soon as I read Jude, I don't know, it's just the way my mind works, I started just, you know, I couldn't help it. I just, you know, it was like, hey, Jude. Then I realized that's the only words I know. And I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, no, I know the end of it. It's, you know, it's my favorite part. Na, 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 na. Hey, Jude. Now, I know what you're thinking. Boy, I'm really glad he doesn't know any more of that song. But I thought of that, so I thought, okay, we're going to study Jude, and I'm going to call it, Hey, Jude. And we're just going to read verse by verse over the next 6 weeks. This little book, only 26, 27 verses, and we're going to study to what Jude had to say to the people of God back then, and it is so relevant today. You're going to see over and over again over the next 6 weeks how contemporary the message is of Jude. All right, so I'm responsible today for the first two verses. So let's share them together right now. This is what it says. No chapters, just one chapter, okay? Verse 1 and 2. This letter is from Jude. That's a great way to start, isn't it? A slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I am writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Now let's look at just the parts of this very quickly. It's from Jude. Almost everybody agrees when they study this book and when it was written that it was written by the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary. Mary was married to Joseph. They had other children after Jesus was born. Jude was one of those kids. And as you're going to see in a few minutes, there's some really interesting things about that dynamic of that family. But that's who wrote this book. It's kind of neat here at this point in the first century that this half-brother of Jesus decides, you know what? God is giving me something to say to the church and to the people. Look at the way he describes himself. A slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. That's pretty cool. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. He says, I'm writing to all who have been called, to everybody. This isn't a book like some books, like for example, the Romans, you know, the Corinthian letter to the Corinthian church, the Philippian letter to the Philippian church. Jude here, his message is for everybody and even for us here today. He says to those who have been called by God, who loves you and keeps you safe. Isn't that neat? His message is that he wants to tell them that God cares for them and that God loves them, that their security is in God, that you are called by God, the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe. He also says that we're safe in the care of Jesus. It's kind of neat when you think about who he was and who Jesus was to him. And then he ends this particular salutation, this introduction to the letter. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Now, let me start by saying this. Jude, I think it's really interesting. And when you read the rest of this book, and you can read it over and over and over again, it's very short, you're going to see that Jude is doing something very interesting here. It's almost as if Jude is saying, you know what, I need to clear the air. I need to get something off my chest. I need to get some things straight. You know, I need to say something that will get us all on the same page. Something is happening here, something that's going on that is disrupting the family of God, that is disrupting your relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, that relationship is that you are a slave and a brother to this one who cares for you and who calls you and who protects you and who gives you grace, mercy, and peace and love in abundance. And he said, you're going to see later on in some of these verses, he's going to talk about some tough things that's going on in the kingdom of God. But it's almost like he's like, you know what? I need to clear the air. You know, kind of like this. Not too long ago, I was sitting at my desk one evening, and my phone beeped. Somebody sent me a text. I looked at it, and it was from the credit card company, and it said that we suspect fraud on your account. Call us right away. And I thought, you know, I wonder if this is real. Well, it was real, and I called them. And they asked me. They said, "Have you ever shopped any at Charming Charlie's? You ever heard of this?" Yeah, look, everybody, all the ladies are raising their hand. Charming Charlie's from Texas. Well, somebody had made some purchases at Charming Charlie's in Texas with my credit card, in the amount of, are you sitting down? $6,000. Like 10 or 12 different. Purchases. And he said, "Sir, you don't sound like somebody that shops at Charming Charlie's." I said, "Well, you've got that right." And I said, "Just a minute." And I hollered up the steps and I said, "Hey, honey, have you bought anything at Charming Charlie's?" And she said, "No." I knew there's no way she's going to spend $6,000. I hope. You know, next thing, I used her phone to call our daughter in Tennessee because she actually has the account number of this particular card. And I just was a little worried about that. And I asked, "No, Dad, I didn't do that." And so I said, "Sir, no, nobody here has purchased anything from Charming Charlie's." And then he said the words that cleared the air. He said, "It's okay, sir, you will not be responsible for these charges." It's like, "Well, thank you very much." You know, all of a sudden, you know, I just felt I needed to call everybody that I knew, you know, everybody in my family, you know, and make sure that you know, something hadn't happened or they hadn't gotten this or whatever. I was just so confused by it. I kind of feel like that's exactly what Jude was going through. And he wanted to get some things straight. He wanted to clear the air. He wanted to get on the same page. And notice how he does it. This is awesome. He starts describing himself. And he says of himself that he is a servant. That he's a servant. Now let me just tell you a little bit about this word. This word in the Greek is doulos. It's a bond servant, a bond slave. It's someone that is in service or servitude to someone else at their own doing. It's not someone that's bought and put into slavery. It's someone that has chosen slavery as a way of life. And what he's saying here, and the word that he's used and is describing, is that that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not propel us. He does not provoke us. He does not determine whether or not we become part of his kingdom. He gives us an invitation, and that invitation is an invitation to be a servant. And for him to be our master. I think what's most interesting here about Jude is that he is a servant. He describes himself as a servant, but he wasn't always a servant. If you go over to John chapter 7 and verse number 5, they're describing a time in Jesus' life when he is having this encounter with the religious leaders. And the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of his day were questioning his authority, questioning who his authority was from. And during this time when they were describing Jesus and this problem that he was having with all the people in authority, they actually said this: even his own brothers did not believe in him. And I think Jude has that in mind, that he was not always a servant, but he is now. What changed? He changed. I want to encourage you today that it's a beautiful thing when you have the ability to remember what you were and appreciate who you are. Anybody here remember what they were, and you have bad thoughts, bad memories, bad experiences, things that you're ashamed of that you did? Anybody here have anything in their past, that they wish that they'd never taken part in? I think Jude is like, I can't believe that there was a time I didn't believe, that I didn't accept my brother, my half-brother Jesus as who he was. But he came to believe. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to look back and remember who you were and appreciate, who you are. I mean, I think parents have this experience a lot. You raise kids, you do things with your children, and it just drives you crazy. Little Jack, he's a great little guy, but he's determined now that when he goes to bed at night, he's found out that his mom will let him call his Mims and his Pappy and his Pops down in Florida. So now he's got this bedtime routine that, he gets a drink of water, he gets a book, he gets another book, he gives everybody a hug, he goes to bed. I want to call Mims. Don't you have those times when I have this time. It's like, I was an okay parent, but I think parents, when we're young parents, you make all kinds of mistakes. But, man, I could do really good raising a kid now. I don't want to. But it's nice to be able to remember what you were and appreciate who you are. That's where Jude was. The second thing that I think was really, really interesting here is that he describes himself as a brother. As a brother. There was probably times in his life when people would say, "Hey, aren't you a brother to that Nazarene?" And he probably, no, you got me mixed up with somebody else. But now he was proud of that relationship. But notice this, is so cool, because he calls himself a brother, but he says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother to who? What does he say? Did you see it? He says, James. Now, James was a brother of Jesus. James was, he was the other brother of Jesus that had a tremendous influence in the New Testament church and in the Jerusalem church, and God used him to do wonderful things. And here in Jude's book, he doesn't say, I'm a servant of Christ and I'm also a brother to Jesus Christ. He says, I'm a brother to James. I think that the way he describes that is a hint at his humility. I mean, have you ever been in some situation where you dropped someone's name? Because you knew somebody, you dropped the name to get in somewhere or whatever. Connie was away at a children's conference this week. I could show you on my phone. I should have put it up here. I didn't. She sent me a picture of, she said she ran into this person in the airport. You know who it was? It's Donald Trump. Connie sent me a picture of her and Donald Trump. And I wrote back, am I supposed to be impressed? You ever dropped a name? Jude here said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a brother to James. And I think in his mind, he could have continued that sentence and said, and we together are servants to him. He is our master. Let me tell you something, folks. When you think of yourself this way, it's an amazing thing. Now, he's going to get into some subjects later on in this little book that's going to tie back into this, that we need to live and act and teach and be perceptive to the things going on in our life and in our church and in our world based on our humble servant relationship with Jesus. Because it's not just any servant relationship. Let me end with this thought. Have you ever thought about the paradox of servanthood. The paradox of being a servant. You know, several years ago, Arlene and I were traveling, and we were at St. Kitts. I don't know if you've ever been to the little island of St. Kitts. But in the middle of this little island, they have this huge park, just full of greens and trees, and it's called the Park of Slavery or something like that. And I read the memorial plaque there on the pole, and it said something about that this place was where slave traders would bring the slaves that they had picked up in Africa and in other places of the world, and they would bring them, and they would collect them here on this little island, and in this park. Right here on this ground, people would come and purchase these slaves and then take them to other places and take them to America. And some of the slaves that ended up in America came through that little place. And as I stood there and thought about the life of the slave, because one of the things it said that many of the slaves that were brought to this place never made it. They would die on the voyage, and they'd just throw them overboard. And when they would get there, the ones that were strong and sturdy and worth some money, those are the ones that they would sell. And the others that were sick and dying, they would just kill them. And I was thinking about the life of a slave. Even slaves here in our country, you know, a couple hundred years ago, you know, and how they wanted their freedom. They fought for their freedom. I think about the words of Abraham Lincoln as he emancipated these slaves, and how they celebrated their freedom. They hid, and they took the secret railroad, and people tried to help them to become free, because no man should be owned by another. But the paradox of a slave here, let me read it for you. Look at the last part of verse 2. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. You know, there were stories of slaves that wanted to remain slaves. Did you know that? And do you know why? Because those were the slaves that were loved by their master, that were cared for by their master, that were treated more as family than anything else. You see, the paradox of a servant, the paradox of a slave, I don't want you to think about bondage. I don't want you to think about mistreatment. I want you to think about being a servant of Jesus Christ, a humble brother who loves and appreciates the relationship that he has. You see, Jude here teaches us to know our true position. It's a servant. That Jesus Christ is our Lord, and that we should not be slaves or servants to sin, but we should be a committed Christian that is full of Christian humility. That we choose to humbly identify ourselves as brothers with him. And then he will highly exalt us, that we can rest in true security because we are his, called of God. And then he will pour out his love on you. And we pour out our love on him in the way that we live. Jude's going to teach us that. And I think it's a journey that we all need to take. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, may we learn from this beautiful example of your half-brother, who during a time of his life did not recognize you as his Lord and Savior. God, we can identify with that. We can identify with who we were, and then we can appreciate who we are now, Lord, in you. And God, more than anything else, may we not have pride, but may we have humility. Humility, Lord, before you, that that teaches us what a true bond slave, a bond servant, a doulos is. That we are slaves not because we are compelled to, not because we are required to, but because we desire to have that kind of relationship with you, because we know that you will love us and care for us and keep us secure, and that, Lord, you will bring upon us love and peace and mercy and abundance. And God, may all those things be ours. And Lord, may we love and desire nothing more than to be a humble servant of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.